Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents The Big Five at Five. Number five.
Doug Von Tobel. JVT is here. It's Cofield, Chrissy, Adam Hill. Big day tomorrow on the road. Friday, happy hour Fridays. That happens on Friday. Crazy Horse 3. Open bar. Von Tobel needs to come down. Kid's not in town.
Yeah.
Kid's not in town. You are totally free to do whatever you want.
Starting tomorrow. Kid goes off to California for a week.
We'll see you tomorrow.
We're plopping him on the Greyhound.
Come by, break bread, throw some drinks down, open bar. Adam, Chrissy should come after the show. Maybe Von Tobel.
What time?
3 to 6. Thanks, man. Thanks. That helped a lot.
Marketing genius.
I appreciate
it. Radio Gold.
Crazy Horse 3. That's tomorrow. Happy Hour Fridays with Cofield and company. All right. Audio showdown. Some people get on the phone. I don't know what they're talking about. They're insane. Sorry if that's an insulting term, but too bad. How about first, this dude who decided to call in to local television station in Pennsylvania is concerned about the increase in tornadoes.
We didn't have tornadoes here until we started putting into traffic circles. Because on the kind of, you want to know why? When people go round and round in circles, it causes disturbance in the atmosphere and causes tornadoes.
Okay. Make sure you get the message in. Have you guys ever heard that traffic circles cause tornadoes?
I think you mean tornadoes.
Tornadoes.
And I actually think scientifically that makes sense. There's a lot of logic behind that.
No, I wanted to laugh. But the more you think about it, I mean, if cars are going round and round, then it does kick the air up and start swirling.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that that does lead to tornadoes. I think that's how it works. We don't live in an area with a lot of tornadoes.
Don't you make fun of my people.
Well, that's... I can understand how that would create a tornado.
Oh, so he's talking about wind. I thought he meant like driving around in circles turned the globe more, thus causing more tornadoes.
No. I think the cars zip around in a circle, and then the wind, especially if you don't get out of the circle, if you just keep going around. A lot of people, you drive in and then you get right out of it.
Wow.
But if you kept going around in a circle, and a lot of cars do that, I think it kicks the wind up enough to the point where I think scientifically he's correct. That's the cause of tornadoes.
I'll just say this. This has not been proven to be inaccurate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nobody's ever disputed it.
Harvard, is there any study that says that driving around in circles really quick does not cause tornadoes?
Let's go to Louisiana next. Apparently, a Taco Bell had an issue. It was time to call 911. We don't have the call, but here is a local television station talking about the story in Slidell.
For one hungry Taco Bell customer, her latest experience was more than disappointing.
Yeah, she called police complaining that her local restaurant in Louisiana actually ran out of tacos.
This was an unsatisfied customer who called the Slidell Police Department on Monday, told them the restaurant was out of both hard and soft shell tacos.
Now, when
thanks to ABC7 in Louisiana.
When I first heard the story and I read about it, I was like, it's silly. They're out of tacos. So what? Get a soft taco.
And then the next line came.
But then he says they're out of both? Yeah. And that's unacceptable.
But you don't call the police.
You sure do.
You can call the police about ketchup on your face?
We did have a story about a guy dumping ketchup on a woman. He was angry with his SO for cheating on him.
Can you imagine what happened if they told her, no Doritos Locos either?
Well, that would be a nightmare. But, I will say, as long as they have like a chalupa or something along those lines, I think you just make do. I don't think you call the police. But if they don't give you any, if there's nothing.
So I've had a soft taco at Taco Bell like once or twice in my life. Isn't that just a tortilla? So does that mean they can't make burritos either? Like, what's going on at this Taco Bell location?
Maybe they didn't have the meat.
Yeah.
I think this is valid. Outraged.
Yeah.
If you've ever gone, picture yourself at some point in your younger partying days, Steve. It's 2 a.m. You're like, oh man, I'm going home. I gotta get some Taco Bell first. We've all been there. You go there and they're like, yeah, we're out of tacos. All right, that's fine. I guess I'll have the soft shell. I'll settle for it tonight. No. We're out of all tacos. You call the police.
I'll even one up this.
Oh, you're going to.
The other day, when you're recording the outside of LJS,
uh-huh,
and you walk in and they go, sorry, no planks. No pups.
I wouldn't have called the cops, but I would have been pissed off.
Yeah, exactly. You went there for a specific thing.
There would have been a second video at Long John Silver's if they had run out of planks.
Especially if
they're
okay, like,
I got you. I'd be angry, but again, the police, Metro's not getting the call to the Fort Apache and, well, and Tropicana LJS.
Yeah, there actually is a Taco Bell right next to that one. So attached, that works out that so well. You can walk right over to it.
Well, it's in a KFC.
In a KFC, and next to the Taco Bell.
They also sell chicken, so I would... Crisis averted.
No, do not compare KFC to a plank. Are you insane? What's wrong with you?
I'm going to say for a second that I had buyer's remorse once I ordered the planks, because I looked on the back wall and I saw a KFC poster, and they have chicken and waffles. Mm. Boy, that must be good from KFC.
Did you see the...
What?
The KFC...
It's not good? You don't think it's good? How do you screw up chicken and waffles? Probably delicious.
Never had
you
the combo.
You can make bad waffles, and then
yeah,
like there's definitely bad chicken. Like it could go wrong. All
right.
Did you see the KFC Cinnabon combination the other day?
No, what is it?
It's like the KFC.
Oh, okay, both.
It's the KFC biscuits.
It's kind of lazy.
Oh, really?
With the Cinnabon on it.
It's kind of
like
lazy.
The frosting.
But it's literally just a biscuit with Cinnabon drizzle and frosting drizzle.
Not the same thing.
No, I know.
Not the same thing.
I get phenomenal. That, but like, I know, I understand that it could be. I'm not saying it's not good. I'm just saying, like, who's the genius who was like, guys, I got an idea.
I don't know, but I want to meet them.
Put the drizzle on the biscuits.
Yeah. You didn't do it. Don't be jealous that you didn't think of this idea. It's a brilliant idea.
Got lots of
but
food
the
ideas.
The thing with when you're talking about Long John Silver's, with Taco Bell, all right, listen, we laugh. I'd be furious if they didn't have it. But guess what? There's probably a Taco Bell like 200 yards away because they're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
If you don't have the planks at Long John Silver, like, yeah, get in your car and go 300 miles to the next Long John Silver's. Then you're mad.
Actually, I would argue that I would be angrier. Call the next Taco Bell.
Yeah,
bring some shells.
Bring some over.
Would you yell through the drive-thru window?
I can see the other one.
We're doing an audio showdown. Let's try to get to the third one here. This is actually old, but we never played it. I'm not even sure that anyone on this show heard it. This crazy people calling, I guess, authorities. So we've had someone calling because Taco Bell didn't have hard and soft shells. We had someone claiming tornadoes are caused by circles, traffic circles. This was actually from a couple of months ago. A call to an authority on UNLV basketball, Mike Grimala. There was a woman who thinks there's something sinister going on with TJ Otzelberger. I just felt like we had to play this again if we're talking about crazy callers. She doesn't trust the guy.
Why is he so ashamed of his name that he uses his initials? Is he a mental case? I don't understand it. He's a grown man. Why does he use his initials instead of his name? Are there other things in his personality that are hidden?
Okay. Why were you so fascinated by the call, Adam?
Oh, she calls me all the time.
Oh, that was weird because you made a face and I was like, wait, we play the wrong sound?
No. She calls me all... I was going to my voicemail. I will... Like, every saved voicemail I have is from that lady.
How about punch it up after 5:30? She calls you, too.
All the time. And she... There is a local sports hero that she hates.
Well, here's more on TJO.
I don't understand it. If he wants to be called TJ, he can say it. But why can't he say his full name instead of initials? That's weird. There's going to be other weird things coming out. That's just a sign that he's weird.
Weird! That's weird! Has anything else come out in the 2 months since? That's weird.
I don't think so.
The Applebee's commercial?
Yeah, I was going to say, the Applebee's commercial is kind of weird.
Well, it's from the past.
It was adorable.
Exactly.
It was
terrible acting, but it's not... It's,
it wasn't terrible acting. It was great acting.
It was something dark from his past.
It wasn't dark at all. It was a great promotion. They had an Otzelberger in South Dakota. He's there with his family. The children are great actresses.
So the children aren't ordering off the kids' menu, which they should be doing. They're getting this giant burger that they can't
handle. What's up.
The smile's pretty dark and twisted.
I was ordering stuff off the adult menu at that age. I respect that.
So this lady correctly predicted that something weird would come out from his past.
Yeah, I think so.
I think so.
I
she's
think
onto something.
Correct. I'll tell you, I have many, many calls.
All right, coming up after 5:30, not to blow you off.
Let's get through the big five.
Next up.
Number four.
Accident scene in New York City. Tracy Morgan in a minor fender bender. But the thing that caught my eye, was... Did I say Tracy Murray?
No, you said Morgan.
Okay. Tracy Morgan has a $2 million Bugatti.
Nice.
How much money do TV people make?
Well, a lot.
Or is he just, like, living it out to the hilt because he almost died?
Well, I was going to say, well, he also got a lot of money from that.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, they paid him off a lot
good
of money.
Good one. Yeah, I forgot all about the Walmart lawsuit. So he's just got money to burn at this point. That's not TV money.
Well, it's bold. I mean, he was on some big shows.
30 Rock was huge. I think he's probably still getting, I would think, royalties from that too.
And some comedy specials.
What a real life. OG right now.
What a life. I'm not a Tracy Morgan hater. I always laugh when these stories come out and you see the wealth of TV and movie folks, you know, and it's the age old thing we've been talking about for 20 years. Like, oh, you hate athletes, huh? They make too much. Okay.
He also did a animal show where he was a host that like talked about the animals.
Okay, good factoid. Yeah. Appreciate that. This story was actually gigantic in the Philippines.
Wait, what?
I did a random search for Tracy Morgan Bugatti accident, and the Inquirer in Manila. Apparently, the driver of the Honda Civic who got into the accident was a Filipina, and that became a big deal.
Well, you got to localize news.
Yeah,
it's always a big thing in the news business. But make it local.
Tracy Morgan's the star, so I'm sure he was like the center of the headline.
I don't think so.
No? No. Filipinas Honda in minor crash with comedian Tracy Morgan. No, she got the lead. Yep. Honda CRV. Jocelyn something.
This was in New Jersey, wasn't it?
It appeared to be in Manhattan, but I might be wrong. I don't know. The pictures I looked at, there were a lot of tall buildings.
It was a New Jersey woman. It was one of the headlines that I read.
Filipina.
42nd and 10th.
I would like...
Kind of a busy area. And it wasn't a major... If you've driven in New York City, in Manhattan, unless it's at night, at 42nd and 10th, you're not doing 60 miles an hour. So it's a little scrape.
Yeah.
So he's okay. I mean, actually, that's kind of scary. I didn't even think of that angle because I forgot about the whole Walmart thing and the freaking truck plowing into him. Yeah. Like, you see a headline, you're like, another car accident? Oh, my God! Is he okay? He'll be all right.
He'll be all right. His car might not be.
Number 3.
Don't we love when you see athletes go on TV and you find out just how hypersensitive they are? Like, I think Paul Pierce is the funniest thing ever. And I believe that Beads knows that Paul Pierce is just super sensitive. So they just bust his chops all the time.
You think he's sensitive?
Yes.
I think he buys into it.
Oh, you think he's playing it up?
Yeah. Well, did you see the... I don't know.
I see him in Billups sometimes, and I'm like, man, he's getting mad. He got really heated over the whole video thing with Isaiah Thomas.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's his career, but I'm talking about, like, when they're going back and forth. Like, did you see the one they were watching one of the playoff games, and he farted on Michelle Beadle? And, like, he was totally down with it, and they were making fun of him. And I think that kind of stuff he's down with. When it comes to his career, and, like, there was the whole Dwayne Wade thing, where everybody kept saying that Dwayne Wade was the better shooting guard and had the better career, that's when he gets really mad.
So Richard Jefferson is doing some TV now. So what happened?
So he was on Get Up this morning. This is absolutely great. And Damon Jones, former Cleveland Cavalier coach, he was talking about at a time where he was traded from the Nets to Milwaukee. And Damon Jones decided to make fun of him and had a great line in terms of, hey, you know what? They actually got a little bit better.
And then all of a sudden, a minute later, my phone rings and it's Rod Thorne saying, hey, it was draft day. We just traded you to Milwaukee. That's how I found out after 7 years of service with the Nets.
And Greeny, guess what? The Nets got better.
Solid line.
That was great. The whole room cracks up. Jefferson, I assume, was laughing.
He absolutely hated it.
Chrissy, what do you think of the video?
I cannot wait to make a gif out of his reaction. It was like... Oh, hell no. And he was just, he got zinged so bad, it was like a drive-by. Like, he just didn't know what to do. He was like,
He looks down, like, he looks around.
And
like,
Greeny's like, don't bring me into this, man, please. Like, let's take a break.
Really thin skin. You could totally tell.
Hilarity ensues. Get up.
But.
Always funny.
He made it worse.
How?
So, afterwards... Richard Jefferson decides to go on Twitter because everybody is making fun of him, retweets the video, and says, if anyone was wondering why this man got soup thrown on him, it's because of absurd statements like this. Ooh. Crying laughing emoji, hot soup emoji, face palm emoji.
Hot soup emoji.
Wait, there's a hot soup emoji?
Don't tell Steve this.
Wait, really?
Please don't tell Steve there's a hot.
This is great.
He's going to have his Bitmoji with a hot soup emoji. It's going to be a mess.
And then also tweets out, Ness, 2009, 12-70, and started the season 0-18. My silence was me trying not to expose him on national television.
Wow.
Expose
dude.
A joke?
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about?
There, like I said, there are just some athletes who they move into the media side of things and they just cannot handle getting busted on. It's the whole dish it but can't take it.
Yep. Absolutely great that he was thin-skinned. Also, Steve Bismoji is terrifying.
His Bitmoji is—it's the worst.
No, it's not.
I've
it's
ever
great.
Seen.
Actually, Christy's going to show me how to start using it more actively on Facebook and Twitter.
Oh, wonderful! This should work out well for everyone. Just don't get this soup emoji.
Well, it's a bit. The Bitmoji has me in. All right. The Bitmoji has me in some Jets garb. Now I sent one. I know this is 5 years old, but I find out about these things and I love them. I sent one to John Bontobel, and his first comment is kind of svelte. So what I come back with.
Steve, like 6 years ago.
Yeah, but to his credit, he sent me back the full body Bitmoji, like pear body.
Yeah,
like,
it's got a giant gut because the SO made it for me, and I was like, it's a little thin. Like, I actually said it was a little thin. Like, I wanted it to be accurate, and she's like, well, I kind of felt bad. There was a fatter one, but I didn't want to just make the fat one. I was like, put me as a fat one. I'm not going to misrepresent myself.
I feel like, by the way, I feel like Jefferson should have just used the hot soup emoji. Like, that's it. Just put the soup out there. And don't say anything and just let it go.
I think you can use the line of if anyone was wondering why this man got soup thrown on him is solid. Just leave it at that. We don't need the stats from the Nets the next year.
And the whole soup throwing thing was J.R. Smith had an incident with Damon Jones. He threw soup on him.
And then, chicken tortillas.
And then there was like 2 years of everybody trying to figure out what kind of soup it was. And then we finally did find out chicken tortillas.
And it was French onion. One of your favorite stories for the both of you because you're lunatics. All right, top two stories.
Number two.
We were watching the game last night, NBA, and you get a brief glimpse of Kyle Lowry going to the sidelines, you know, kind of jumped into the crowd. You don't really see the might with which he hit anybody or what happened, but you do see Lowry walking away. The Raptors guard, he makes a pushing motion and he points over to someone. And initially, the announcers, you know, Breen and Jackson and JBG are like, what's going on here? Is he claiming that a Warrior pushed him? Someone in the crowd pushed him? So they finally show the highlight. What happened?
So there's a guy in a blue shirt about two seats to the right. And while Lowry is intertwined with some of the fans courtside, he reaches over and gives them like two really good, just shoves them for one reason or another. And again, this is another incident with a fan getting a little too close with an NBA player. Like the kid who did he slap Russell Westbrook? Did he hit him in the back? Something like that.
So
another fan. Yeah, right. And so another fan just feeling like they can overstep the bounds and get physical with a player during an NBA contest.
Look at somebody that wants to be Drake.
To an extent, yeah.
Well,
except Drake's contact wasn't consensual, I think.
Van Gundy immediately jumped to the guy's defense. He's like, he just went slamming into the crowd. What do you want him to do? But I don't think Van Gundy looked at the replay. No. This wasn't a push to get him off.
No.
It was like a swipe, like, get out of here.
Yeah.
Like, bro, you're in a courtside seat. Players are going to come at times hurtling your way. They may hit you.
Yeah, and I don't even understand. Like, it wasn't even like a – it certainly wasn't a push like, hey, he'll get back on the court, get away from me. It was, hey, he's right over here. I get my one chance to get a little shot in. Like, that's what it was. And it was – he was trying to, like, jab him without punching. It was just kind of a – and I still think he kind of thought better of it at the end. I don't – because he didn't really follow through. It was more – it wasn't like a violent act, is what I'm saying.
He's very lucky it didn't turn into something much bigger.
For sure.
If that's Ron Artest or, you know, someone who's a little more volatile.
Yeah, for sure.
It could have turned into something bigger. So it turns out this guy is who? He's obviously a rich person. He's sitting courtside. Who is he?
He's Mark Stevens, one of the Warriors minority owners.
Really? So he's an owner.
Yep.
And his first action is to take a swipe at an opposing player. Awesome.
Biggest stage.
Awesome. So what are the Warriors going to do?
Apparently, he is banned from Warriors or for NBA Finals games for the rest of the series.
No, they updated it, though. It's a, oh, really? He's getting a year
really?
And $500,000.
You're giving him $5,000?
Yeah, it's a giveaway, a $500,000 giveaway.
Wait, what happened with the $500,000?
I thought in the last hour or so they handed down a one-year ban.
Who did?
And $500,000
fine. The NBA?
I thought it was the Warriors.
We got it. We this is we got to track this story. How do the Warriors just have a right to fine someone $500,000?
The NBA, according to Rachel Nichols, the NBA has spoken. Warriors minority investor Mark Stevens is going to be banned from attending games for 1 year, fined $500,000 for pushing Raptors guard Kyle Lowry in the shoulder during last night's game.
So it's the NBA.
Yep.
Wow.
I mean, personally, and I know you're a big fan of him, Colin Cowherd, he was talking about this on his show today. Force him to sell a stake. You're an executive. You're a minority owner of the team. Out of everybody in that arena, you should know better. Sorry, you don't deserve this anymore. Force him to sell it.
Adam?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's legal issues that come involved in that. I think they have every right to do it. I watched it several times. I can't get that worked up about it. It's obnoxious.
Right.
But it was still like. And I don't think you can, like, it's almost like he's so weak that he didn't do anything. So you're like, that doesn't excuse it either. Like, just because he's weak doesn't mean he should get any less of a penalty because he was trying to do something. He just didn't really do anything. I don't know. It's a tough one because I also understand that it's a heat of a battle. You're hating this guy, screaming at him the whole time, and then he hits you. He didn't hit you. He's diving for a ball. He's doing what he's supposed to do. But this guy's over with you now, and now this guy that you're hating and you have this animosity for and you're screaming at the whole time is now right in your face. Like, I understand how it happens. It shouldn't. And there's no excuse for it. You get it. So I like making sure he's not there. I'd say he can never sit courtside again. Maybe he has to sit in the booth or up in one of the boxes.
I think all of this is too much. A $500,000 fine for a burst of emotion. If you want to ban him for the rest of the series, that's fine. But you're going to force him to sell the stake. Well, listen, you're talking to a person who hates fans who get involved in the action, but this wasn't a random, he just went and pushed somebody. The guy was falling near him, and what he did was wrong, but a $500,000 fine.
Well, to me, it's because of who he is. It's not just some rich dude who got to buy seats and was lucky enough to be there. Like, you know the inner workings of the NBA.
So then why wasn't Drake fined?
Well, because Drake didn't push any players. Drake didn't shove anybody.
Who initiated the Draymond Drake thing? It was Draymond?
It looked like it.
Okay.
That was more yelling.
Yeah, and he didn't get up and shove Draymond in the chest. And that's why, too.
Yeah, but no. Hold on the yelling. Was there a physical altercation between the Jazz fan and Russell Westbrook? The Jazz fan who got banned? No, it was verbal.
Yeah, did he get banned from Utah Jazz game?
Yes. Yeah, he's done.
Yeah, so there's no stake.
Well, but my point is that Drake and Draymond was verbal.
Yeah, but Draymond and Drake also have a personal relationship. And he didn't get physical with them. Like, that's my thing.
But if you're trying to be consistent and send the because that's what they're trying to do here.
Mm-hmm.
Send a message to people, spectators, whether it's an owner or a fan. If you're a spectator, don't mess with the players. Okay. And I don't hate Drake. I just, to me, like, finding this guy $500,000 or banning the other guy from going to Jazz games anymore, like, Drake nearly was on the brink of something physical happening when he's sitting there jawing with Draymond Green and calling him trash.
Well, and if I remember correctly, the Jazz fans, there were also maybe some racial issues with what he was saying towards Russell Westbrook.
That was the claim, and there was also some weird stuff on social media, but I don't know if they ever verified if they were real accounts, fake accounts. He scrubbed them, so that happens.
So how about this, then? How about instead of banning guys, how about instead of doing all this, how about you just get rid of courtside seats?
That ain't gonna happen. But I get your point.
Right?
It's because more of this stuff is happening. And we watch the games. We go to games. And you're like, how much more can the fans encroach upon the participants? I know NBA teams have a ridiculous staff and there's like 100 assistants. But because they sell all the seats like right up to the coaches and the players, you've got a whole row of assistants who are actually behind fans.
Yep.
Or at least in worse seats than fans, maybe not behind them.
Well, and other venues have like walls. They're not as intimate, man. Like, you can't, to get down to a football field, you have to have like a little bit of a drop. You have to get down there. Security can get on you. Same thing with Major League Baseball to a certain extent.
Well, I got you. Something bad is going to happen in a NBA or college basketball game at some point, and then I'm not sure what they're going to do. Put up a net, put up a giant fence, barbed wire. I'm all for that. Just run right into the barbed wire. Of course, the players might be in jeopardy at that point, though. Trying to save a ball out of bounds.
A moat with alligators?
I love it. Yeah. But how many players will perish a year or get brutally injured because they're getting eaten by alligators?
How much would that be enjoyable?
That's a real sacrifice. Yeah. That guy really wants, and he went right into the moat.
Number one.
Your thoughts on game three? So what'd you see?
I you know, look, Klay Thompson was clearly missed, right? Like, Steph had nobody in terms of taking the offensive load off of his shoulders. That's why he needed to score 47 points. I thought they missed Kevon Looney, man. But Kevon Looney defensively is really solid. And in the postseason, efficiency differential, he's plus 12.6 per 100 possessions. So they outscore opponents by 12.6 points per 100 possessions when he's on the floor. He's actually a decent rim protector. Raptors shot like 70. They shot 74% at the rim yesterday. They had nothing. And I thought they missed Looney big time. Klay, obviously, they did. But I thought Looney, it's a really underrated loss. And maybe now he could possibly come back. But I thought they really missed Looney yesterday on the defensive end.
And on the defensive end, Klay, too. Klay is so good defensively. And it's not just who he's covering, because then it's a trickle-down effect, because then your next best defender then moves up to the best one. And then, you know, you've got guys out there try to defend that really aren't capable of doing it at that level for that long of a time. It's a huge issue, I think, on the defensive end of the floor to not have those guys out there. And Cousins struggled defensively quite a bit yesterday as well. As you mentioned, the paid percentage was insane for the Raptors. Cousins couldn't do anything after having such a good game in game two. Came out and had nothing in game three.
What'd you make of people are just stating facts, but I saw a lot of social media saying, my God, look at who's on the floor for the Warriors. They didn't say this part. Like, poor Warriors. But you could get that vibe. Really? Poor Warriors?
Have you watched the NBA for the last 5 years? Because how many series have we watched with this Golden State team where the other side was just destroyed with injuries? You could just go back to the Cavs the first year they met up. There's a real argument to be made that this Warriors dynasty could be 0-2 in their first two trips to the finals, considering how well LeBron played them with the Australian. And then, of course, they lost the 73-9 year the next time back, the second time around. But here's the thing. It's not just that. It's Kawhi. This is the revenge game. Why? Because he was lost in the Western Conference Finals his last year with the Spurs, or at least the full year. I don't feel bad. You've taken on teams with a lot of their stars on the sideline.
I don't think anybody's feeling bad for them. It's not their team. My issue was yesterday when I saw people saying, Raptors haven't figured out. Like, what?
I think you're wrong. I think there are people out there who are whining about the Warriors' injuries and feel bad for them. For Steph.
The only whining I've seen is, like, I kind of want to watch, teams at full strength play in the finals. Like, that's what I've seen.
Read more.
Yeah, I would argue against it, because after game one, it was a fluky win. And the Raptors actually had a pretty good defensive game in game one. They didn't figure them out, but they had a good defensive game. So
it was a great spot for him with the Warriors going off a much longer rest and traveling and everything else.
Excuses.
Yeah. I know. That's
they're facts. That's a real reason.
But I said it before the game. What is that? I don't even get it. Before the game, we said it was the best spot of the series was game one because of all the factors going in their favor.
Listen, the way it's setting up, I said it in hour one. If the Warriors lose, they have this crutch.
Oh, of course. That's what it's going to be. The Raptors won't get any respect for winning the series if they do win it. It's absolutely ridiculous, because it's just the stigma of the Eastern Conference and how bad it is.
It is funny how, on the other side, people don't want to hear the excuses, but when people throw the Cavs victory and try to denigrate that a little bit, Draymond Green, middle of the series, you're right. That was a factor, but people want to downplay the Cavs victory. Yeah. Like, you deal with what you have to deal with. It sucks.
In that situation, it's not like you had two other games to close them out after that anyway.
Yes. John, good job. John Von Tobel. You can hear him on Channel 204, Sirius XM on VSiN. On the way back, you got to hear more from Stephen A. Smith as he's going ballistic over Kyrie Irving rumors to Brooklyn. And he has a defined spot, a prediction of where KD is going to land after all this goes down.
The Big 5 at 5 is brought to you by Battle Born Injury Lawyers. Call them today for a free consultation at 702-570-9000.
You can't touch this.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Turnaround jumpers up and good. Kyle Lowry lighting it up.
This is what Kyle Lowry was talking about, that he was pushing. You see there that guy with the left arm pushing him. The lead official, Mark Davis, coming over to us. They said they did not see it. However, the NBA is looking at it. Hopefully what happened, you see What are the?
Well, it's interesting, Matt. He's got a press pass too. Yeah. He's got some kind of a.
One of the owners, investors, Mark Stevens, in a little pushing incident last night. I say it's little, but the NBA thought it was gigantic. He's banned for a year from going to games. And, boy, I'd like to look up this guy's net worth. $500,000. My God, he's not a freaking owner. I know you hate that term in the NBA. But yeah. He's not Joe Lacob. He's not some billionaire. Maybe he is. $500,000? And this is from me. I hate fans who interfere with any sort of the action or in any sort of way. Usually want them, you know, executed on the spot. That seems
like
crazy.
A proper penalty.
Yeah. A little much. Talking about millionaires, boy, I undershot on Wentz. You guys weren't even close. No. I was in the right direction, though. Carson Wentz, 4-year deal. Adam and JVT were thinking, you know, somewhere in like the $90 million range for 4 years, like $23 million a year. I countered with 112. Let's get him to like $28 million a year. They paid him $32 million a year. He's got a 4-year deal, $128 million. Have you seen the guaranteed money?
Over 100.
Oh! Wow, these quarterbacks.
I know.
Boy, I wonder if Wentz did have any issues in the locker room. If this helps or hurts it.
Probably hurts.
Yeah, I just wonder what... Because I think Derek Carr probably has to deal with it. Because if you don't produce when you're making $25 million plus a year, I wonder what happens in the locker room, like how quickly guys are like, yeah, okay. Makes that much money, huh?
I imagine it happens pretty quick. And you know, you're going to have to live up to it. And
yep.
And everybody knows now, when it's especially when it's that much guaranteed, that there's really nothing they could do to you. I mean, he's the quarterback.
Yippers.
If he stinks, he's hurt no matter what, oh well. And if you have an issue with him, and say the whole team has an issue with him, he's still probably the quarterback, and you're the ones that are going to be leaving.
You watch First Take?
No.
Oh, man. Freaking dynamite the last couple days. Live audience in the Bay Area. So Stephen A. is like completely amped up. Molly Karam was actually kind of jacked. And Max is sitting there in sunglasses. So going with the Chrissy style. The old Fabulous Sports Bay plan in front of the live audience. With the reflector glasses too. What are those, aviators?
Yeah,
right?
Impressive.
So Stephen A. started down this whole path of, hey, I got breaking news. Kyrie Irving ain't going to the Knicks. He's going to Brooklyn, and he starts going crazy about his Knicks and, you know, the bad luck. So he did that on just a phone video yesterday. So he goes on First Take, and he starts talking about this, and again, rolls out, hey, oh, woe is us, the Knicks fans, because we thought we were getting the package deal with KD and Kyrie.
As all of you know, I am a New York Knicks fan. Yes, pray for me. I'm a New York Knicks fan, and I have been on the record, as has most people, recognizing the fact that it is likely that KD, after this season, would depart for New York City with one Kyrie Irving. Matter of fact, I've been on the record saying, quote, this was what I was told at the time, 95% possibility, but leave the 5% window open because it's KD and he could always change his mind. Over the last several hours, I have learned that Kyrie Irving has given every indication to the Brooklyn Nets that that is where he wants to go, not the New York Knicks.
Uh-oh, the crowd starting to grumble, the Warriors fans. All right.
Whoa.
So he sets this up, right? Now we're going to talk about what happens if Kyrie goes to Brooklyn and it's not a package deal to go to the Knicks. Okay, what does that mean now for Kevin Durant? Watch as Stephen A. gives a really strong take, a very defined take on where he believes Kevin Durant will be next year.
If he decides to go to Brooklyn, KD ain't interested in going to Brooklyn. And as a result, the belief is that KD will either go to New York without him.
Okay. A defined prediction where KD is going to land. We're going to get to it.
Convince him to come to New York.
Okay. So the pitch would be he's first going to try to convince Kyrie to go with him. That's going to happen. Or is there a plan B?
Or settle for somebody like a Kemba Walker.
Okay. So now KD has a plan B. See?
Or KD may decide to stay in Golden State.
I have no idea what's happening.
Well,
he rolled through like every possibility. Come on, Stephen A.
No, he didn't mention the Clippers.
He rolled through lots of possibilities. So he could go to New York without Kyrie. He could go to the Knicks, and convince Kyrie to come along. He could just say the hell with it, still go to the Knicks, and go to and turn to Kemba Walker, or the hell with all of it, he may just go back to Golden State.
The belief is it's contingent on whether or not Golden State wins. If they win the finals, he leaves. If they lose, he stays.
Why are you depressed? You think the Quite Warriors the conundrum. Are winning, so that means
because,
he's leaving. He's
because the injuries and all of this other stuff, you just never know what could go wrong. A black cat is the Knicks. This is the Knicks, Molly. Talk about a black cat running around. And I ain't talking about just the Cowboys. Stuff it's the Knicks, winning. Too.
So now Stephen A. is saying he needs to root for the Warriors to win, so then KD leaves and goes to his Knicks.
Right, but he's also putting the fans that are there in the live audience in a Sophie's Choice.
What's that?
Like, it's a terrible decision that you have to make. Do we cheer for us to win and lose KD? Or do we now cheer against us so we keep him around long term?
I don't even think it's a difficult choice at all. I think you root for the win, and then you can possibly... I'm going to take out possibly, because that's what Stephen A. was just doing, so I'll be more definitive. You win, your team moving forward is KD-less, but you have Curry, Clay, and Draymond. I'll go with that. That's what I root for. I want to win, and I want to keep that core together.
Right, but you could also because if KD, lose Clay.
No. If KD comes back, see, I think Clay will stay around. If Kevin... Defined, okay? I know you're trying to play gray area all day today.
No, you said you think he'll stay around.
Okay.
That's a thing.
KD leaves, I'm guaranteeing Clay, Dre, and Steph. I'm rooting for that.
I think they'll take that, but I think the concern that they have is KD leaves, and then everybody says, you know what, it was a good run. I'm going to go make my money and go do what I want to do somewhere else and try to build a legacy somewhere else. That's the concern that you have. I think fans almost think if KD stays, they find a way to make everybody stay and keep the dynasty going, and if he leaves, it starts to fall apart.
I don't believe that.
You don't have to believe it.
I've always thought if Steph and Kevin Durant are making max or close to max, we know that Steph is. If those two are making max, the other two, at least one's leaving, if not both.
Possibly. But you just don't know that. You can't bank on that as a fan. The hope
I can.
Hope that it comes around.
When this year KD leaves, the three stay together. Splash Brothers and Dre. You can keep saying it's a possibility. I believe that's what's going to happen. So we'll see.
Right, but if you, this started as what are the fans thinking? And like, what is their fear?
It really didn't. It started with Steve. What is Stephen A. rooting for? Because they're totally involved in this here. So you got to listen to. Now, for some reason, like Molly gets really annoyed. Molly Karam's the third on the show. I'm sorry if that's an insult. She is. She's the lead host, and Stephen A. is like 88% of the show.
Yeah.
And Max is, you know, do the math, 11, and she's 1%. Yeah. So she decides to start chiming in here because she then gets annoyed with Max Kellerman, who's like, yeah, I actually think Kyrie going to Brooklyn is really smart, and it's a good move to pass on the Knicks.
Kyrie is smart to want to go to Brooklyn instead of the Nets. Why wouldn't KD follow?
I'm sorry, MSG, the Barclay Center? Are you really going to sit here on national
Barclay
TV
Center's every bit as good as Madison Square Garden,
like,
at least.
The Nets are even close to the Knicks in
yes.
their history.
Yes.
Not as a brand.
Yes.
Not as a brand.
Stephen A., please get him.
What is this? Stephen A., go get him. You started the fight. Finish it, Mal.
It's her job to facilitate an argument, though.
But she's starting. She's calling Max a moron for saying the Nets are a valid choice. And, it's like, I don't know. It's this weird thing. You're like, oh, MSG? They're owned by James Dolan. They never win. This is the arrogance. I don't know if she's a Knicks fan, too. This is the arrogance of the Knicks and the Lakers. Like, any other team in this, well, in this case, the Clippers and the Nets, they're crap. They're not crap. In fact, they're going to get the free agent haul, and you're dogs on getting the free agent haul. So Max starts to fight back here, and then it just gets absurd.
The Mecca.
You're right, but the Mecca of what, Molly?
It's the Mecca of basketball. New York City is the Mecca of basketball.
But not the Knicks.
How can you sit here and say that? Then the Lakers are. How are the Lakers the heritage franchise and the Clippers aren't?
Because the Lakers got 16 championships, the Knicks got two. You're comparing the Knicks to the Lakers?
Yeah! Molly, switch off the mic. What is that? Isn't that something I mock on all the time? The Mecca! You're going to play in the Mecca! It's MSG!
Of course.
You never win! Your owner is as big a dirtbag as we have in all of sports! Stop with the freaking Mecca!
That's what their viewers want. The simple argument, come back with the different argument. That's what they're looking for. That's how they go.
Finley Toyota. They'll do anything to sell you a car. No Toyota problem is too tough, too large, or too small. Keep your Toyota running like a Toyota.
It's Cofield and Company's...
You want it? Check it out.
Grab bag.
Smells like fish in here.
Hey, don't touch that. That's nothing to play with, man.
On ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
Game 5, Stanley Cup Finals, scoreless. 121 left in the first period. Big deal, rightly so, being made of Chara. 6'8 defender for the Bruins, playing with a broken jaw.
And, of course, gives everybody the chance to say hockey players are tougher than everyone else in the world. That's fine.
They're tough.
They're very tough, just like every pro athlete is tough.
Right. Well, but hockey fans, like some of the other niche sports, feel like they've got to protect their own, push their sport. And when I say niche sports, I'm talking college basketball. You know, you see buffoons like Seth Davis.
Of course.
You know, throwing out insults the way of R.J. Hampton, the kid who decided to pass on playing college basketball. We have to protect the game.
Yeah.
Dumb kids.
Yes.
You saw the Kenyon Martin.
Stick your hand in there.
I was
going to
say senior. Kenyon Martin's kid, Kenyon Martin Jr.
KMJ?
Had been committed to Vanderbilt, and he's out. So he's going to go play some kind of pro basketball. And I love college basketball. Adam loves it more. Are you mad?
No.
Some kids, if they want to go make money, then go do it. What would I recommend? I would recommend going to school for 4 years. Get an insurance policy, protect yourself against injury, enjoy the college experience. I think it's tremendous. Get your degree. But if you're not interested in going to school or you want to start making money right away, I mean, I would assume the Kenyon Martin's kid doesn't need to make money right away.
No.
But it's his choice. I'm not mad.
Maybe he wants to be a professional instead of going to class.
Yep.
Well, this is his right to.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
So I was asking earlier, man, $500,000 fine. This guy, Mark Stevens, the fan who's now banned for a year. He pushed Kyle Lowry, Warriors minority owner. I was like, well, that's a lot of money. He's worth $2.3 billion. My God.
Drop in the bucket.
There are so many rich people out there.
Not us.
Just insane. To build on your point about
your hand in there, Dave.
Hockey players being really tough, I thought this was interesting. I don't know who he was attacking. Nick Wright from Fox Sports said, anyone want to take bets on which member of the sports media is going to be the first with the take that what Stevens did is not a problem and that the outrage is a symptom of our soft culture? I got a hunch who the heavy favorite is. I have no idea who he's talking about, but I bet you someone does it.